Hello, friends, and welcome to World Build With Us, the podcast where we create fantastical worlds with help from you, our listeners. My name is Rob Hilferty, and I'm here with my co-hosts, Johnny Law and Daniel Quinn. On today's episode, we have a prompt from a previous listener, Andrew. The prompt is, a world where a D&D-style planner wheel cosmology has gone through a grand conjunction. Look, I'm a fan of any kind of conjunction, grand or otherwise, but I'm excited about this prompt. So the first tenet that we're dealing with is all forms of cosmic and prime life now share the same plane of existence. Tenet two, the other planes are inaccessible. Perhaps the planes still exist, but are inaccessible. Their inhabitants having been evicted to the prime. Perhaps everything was folded into one plane and that's all that exists, or perhaps something else. Whatever explanation sparks joy for you, thank you, Marie Kondo, I appreciate it. Tenet number three. While all the non-divine denizens of the various planes are on the one world, the various gods aren't, and nobody has been able to get in and contact them with or receive any sort of divine blessing. It's unclear why. I'm excited about that. And I'm very excited about this prompt in general. And before we get into that, we of course need to remind everyone that if you, like Andrew, want us to build your world, you can always go to our website, worldbuildwithus.com, where you can click the link, follow some instructions, and within a reasonable amount of time, we'll be building your world. If you want to follow us on social media, we're on YouTube and Twitter. So go ahead and subscribe, link, follow us, all that good stuff. Or if you want to talk to us more directly, we have a Discord where you can chat about world building, D&D cosmology, or anything you'd like. So follow a link for that in the description of this very episode. And if you're feeling particularly generous or just want two episodes for your prompts, you can go ahead and give us money over on Patreon as a thank you for all the podcast goodness. Now, with all of the shilling out of the way, let's dive right back into this particular prompt. John, there's a long-standing tradition of the guest going first with their initial prompt, but you're no longer a guest in my eyes. So, Daniel, what is your first tenet? What have you got for us today?
My thought is that there'd be a degree of nativism to occur as a result of a bunch of random extra planar entities entering the prime material, whatever the prime material is in the setting. My tenet is that a bureau for extra planar incursions has sprung up, and this bureau has some particular advantage, and it's collecting the people who have merged into the prime material and quarantining them to the best of its ability.
Interesting.
I agree completely. That's really fucking cool. I love the idea that we have some kind of super border patrol, but in a D&D world. Yeah. And also maybe we can make it less dark or more dark. I mean, Courtney is not here, so there's always a possibility that there's less blood sacrifice than normal. So I'm very curious to see where we go with this. Yeah.
I imagine this bureau employs the typical propagandistic techniques you'd expect from something like it, where they're trying to protect the integrity of the realm. And, they must have some severe advantage that allows them to do this, because a conjunction of multiple like planes, I assume, would involve a lot of people. So they must have
it's kind of where I was going with my tenet.
Yeah, they must have a lot of magical or something like that in order to be able to pull this off.
Very interesting, John. Me too, but I'm so more interested in yours. What do you got for us, John?
Oh, I hope I don't step on your toes there, Rob. There's a matter of population density here that we got to discuss. And, there's at least, 20 planes, not counting like the Feywild and the Shadowfell, which are supposedly mirror planes of the material plane. So there's a lot of denizens coming in here, and there's not that much space in the material plane.
I do have a question for you there as you're explaining that. Are we assuming this is D&D style? It doesn't necessarily say D&D, right?
We don't have to adhere to it, but just I still, yeah, I'm fine with being a little bit flexible, because there's some of those like 16 planes are just like confusing. And
I don't want to do D&D realms. I have no interest in being restrained by that.
But I do think we do have to have the extensiveness of it, like these are fully populated planes they're now putting into it. So my initial thought was that, like, you know, this like powerful Valkyrie gets pulled into the world, but it happens to be in the same space where like a deer is like grazing on, you know, grass, and they both just explode. But then I decided, instead of that, what if actually parts of the worlds themselves came and replaced parts of the material plane? So now you actually have like part of the nine hells or whatever the equivalent of it is in, you know, the world. And so if you're using D&D as a map, like the Forgotten Realms, you know, maybe Waterdeep in its surrounding area existed, but everywhere else in the world is now replaced with sections of these other planes. So it's now like it's just all one plane, but like other parts of the world really have been ripped out. But saying that, I will say that maybe some people on other parts of the world survived and were dropped into like there are divine entities that were placed in, instead of landing in their version of the divine, they're now in hell, or they're now in what was the original material plane. So that's, you can still work with that border patrol aspect.
I love the idea of the physical landscapes merging together. So it's an actual.
Yeah.
So I have a question about that. I'm assuming that when we're dealing with something like this, it's not like some kind of Giger-esque like physical merging, but like, I'm thinking like these are puzzle pieces that are placed on top of the world as it is, right? So it's like, okay, it's like, imagine that if Detroit, the city, was teleported whole cloth into like a different plane of existence, yeah, right?
Exactly.
Like, is that, that's what we're going for, right?
I'm thinking of it like linear editing where you actually replace just one thing with another. Like it just slapped in, and then somehow, you know, like the break between them, the cut is actually merged in some way. So it's not just like discordant. It's not like you just take, you know, you step on one side, like, oh, I'm in hell, now I'm in Valhalla. Like, you know, there is a blending between the areas, but they, as far as the material plane is concerned, 90% of it, at least 93% of it, has been replaced by all these other different things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And it kind of answers my follow-up question, which is how staunch are these differences, but you're suggesting that there's like at least a level of bleed that would make sense. So it's not like you have ice world next to hell world, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Although I suppose you could, right? in weird ways, you know, which would be visually kind of cool if you're like, you know, you're walking out of Detroit and then like across the street, there's a massive glacial mountain that's come from that other plane.
Yeah, or like right, the jungle like, beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I'm okay with some a certain level of like, oh, that is very jarring in terms of like how disparate it is. Like, I think that's part of the fun of the setting is like exploring, you go from like a desert to like a waterfall or something like that. But I think that over time you would see that there would be a great kind of like equalizer at over a certain time period. So I suppose my question would then be, where are we in terms of the timeline, or do we want to get through the rest of the tenets first before we go into that?
I can grab the other tenet, but what do you think?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'd just see what you got first, Rob, and then like, because I'm always, it's funny, as a viewer, I want to see the thing that happens, but as a creator, I rather see it after the fact it happens.
Yeah, I feel like it's always more intense to have it as it's happening, you know, like as
Plus, I feel like in terms of one of my favorite things about like role-playing game settings or fantastical settings is the exploration. Yeah. And I think that this world, like traversing this world as it's literally, okay. Can we even focus this timeline even further as like these things are literally slotting into place?
Yeah, so, like the moment of the conjunction.
Yeah, not just the moment, because like, but the moment takes longer than just an instant to happen. Uh-huh. And so like these things are like settling. And so like it's still kind of like actively happening over just a particular time span. I think that's kind of a cool concept.
It would also conjunction, but what's the function?
Man, that is a great question, John. I'm having trouble thinking about the real answer rather than the Simpsons answer. I can't come up with it.
I'll take either.
Okay, Schoolhouse Rock tangent aside, I feel like my toes are pristine. I've got steel-toed boots on today because no toes were stepped on whatsoever, John. So you're good in that regard.
Excellent.
Yeah. I'll dive right into my tenet, which is being separated from their material, from their respective material planes and beings of divinity. The native creatures of these relative planes are starting to metamorphosize in unexpected ways. I'm thinking about this kind of like as an adaptation or in some cases a full-on like merger, you know, like where things are like coming together because they're like, oh, I don't have access to the thing that I need. I need to physically change my body in some way. And I feel like it is, it's more extreme for some outsiders than others. Like I'm thinking that if you're an angel or a devil or something that is, like coming from a plane of raw reality, then being cut off from that, even though there are sections of your reality, being cut off from the primary source is going to physically alter what you are. And I think that's kind of an interesting way to like maybe even justify why the prime material plane folks have an advantage is because the physiology of these things is breaking down to a certain extent. And they're not as, it's not about being as powerful, but it's about being like in flux, like your literal body is in flux. And like, as they're trying to do it, they're like, okay, now is the time. We have an advantage. Let's jump on this and take advantage while we can.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like, I also can imagine the physics of their various realms are different, or the rules even. And so, you know, coming into ours, that's part of what messes them up. And also, it makes sense that that would be why the Bureau has a huge advantage, because while they're confused, they can, like, close things off and capture them.
Yeah. I mean, also, like, once again, I'm going to keep referencing D&D, but we don't have to hold, be handcuffed to it. But, the creatures are more or less projections when they're in the material world, because, like, when you banish them, you send them back, or when you kill them, they get sent back. So it's like, I could see that now that there's no going back, that they're actually in this world, and they, don't have their patrons to, empower them, then... Mm-hmm. They would seem like they were, still be crazy, vicious looking demons, but they're just not going to have the same ability mm-hmm. that they did before. Which also makes me wonder, going back to D&D, everyone, the clerics get really fucked on this. Everyone else is fine. Everyone else is tap the weave, but true. Clerics are just screwed.
Yeah. So I was thinking about that too. And one of my tenets was almost like, okay, you now have to pull like divine magic is so much more like unreliable, but it still exists. It's kind of like in the Eberron setting, how it's not just about like, hey, I worship this god, I get this magic. It's like, I have this mm-hmm. belief system, and that is where I draw my kind of divine magic
from. Well, that's what 5e paladins are now, that they their magic is, even though it's tapped into the divine, it actually comes from their oath. And that was their workaround to allow people to not be lawful good paladins all the time. Which I prefer.
Eberron does a lot of things right. And that's certainly one of them where it's just, and honestly, I think it makes a lot more sense, especially because fuck the alignment system. I think Daniel and I are blood brothers in that regard, but
he made a better one.
I have reinvented it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is. But are you rejecting it? Do you want to get into that conversation?
Excuse us while we now turn this to an aphid lounge.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Exactly. No, I'm fucking with you, Daniel. What I wanted to get back to a little bit too is this idea that like I'm just picturing this from those respective monsters. Like, imagine that you are a creature of law, right? You come from the plane of law, like axiomatic. Like to the max. And then you come to a place and you are surrounded by chaos and like disorder. Like how just like, first of all, you're going to have like a panic attack, right? Like I'm so used to the world being a specific way and now it is completely different. And like the anxiety of like having to constantly like confront that is a really fascinating concept. And then even on the inverse, right? Like if you're a creature of primordial chaos, you're like, wait a minute, what do you mean I can't just like disapparate and then reappear wherever I want. Like, this is supposed to be a chaotic realm. Like, what is gravity? What is this? This is monstrous. Who would do this to someone? So, like, just those perspectives alone, like, beyond, like, the metamorphosis, I think is such a cool thing to keep in mind as we kind of navigate the setting a little bit further as well.
Just imagine when they, like, first discover, you know, allergies and menstrual cramps and, yeah, just, like, random material world things. The fuck is this? Why are my nails ingrown? How does work?
You could do, like, you could take a full-blown comedy depending on the perspective you want to take, for sure.
And there's also an opportunity to subvert the expectation of what, you know, a kind of nativist government organization might actually be about. Because, you know, on the one hand, they're trying to oppose these incursions, but on the other hand, it would be good if those, like, beings of law were able to be in their own realm where their laws applied and they'd be safe. And so there might actually be a degree of alignment with the leaders of some of these realms to help the Bureau put them back or to figure out what happened to undo this.
That's a very interesting concept, actually. And I'm imagining that perhaps the more lawful ones would prefer that as well, where it's like, I feel out of place in these, you know, biomes outside of what I'm used to. Mm-hmm. And there could be this interesting push-pull where it's like, no, I want to go out and explore these different realms. I want to understand what these other places are like because I see these metamorphoses happening and, like, people are changing and possible or it's possible for them to change. So let's explore that. And then, like, I can see that as a real fracture point. And, like, you get a lot of factions built up that way based around all of that conflict that happens, you know?
I can also see the disempowered clerics supporting this bureau because it would set things right and potentially put them back in communication with their gods. At least that's the claim they can make.
They'd literally become clerical because they have nothing else they can do. Yo, I can write. So they just become a bunch of secretaries. That's what I think.
Boo earns.
No, so I have a question though, and this kind of swaying how I feel about this. So you have all these extra planar beings now on the material plane, and they all represent, you know, once again, following the D&D kind of mold, they all represent specific ideologies, right? So the people that are now on the that were originally native to the material plane, do you think they would do the thing where, you know, let's all, you know, side together as material beings to keep our way of life? Or do you think they would actually fracture off into like leaning into the whatever ideologies that they wouldn't follow? Like, if you're a lawful good paladin, are you going to be like hooking up with the divine people and getting like moving toward them? And like, if you're like a crazy murder hobo, are you going to be hanging out with the demons?
I mean, if you think about one of the conceits of Watchmen, the final part, is that the only way to force the nations to align is to impose a threat that's greater than all of them. And so out of fear, they've allied. And that's kind of what the conclusion is for the villain in Watchmen. So I could see the Bureau having the goal of demonizing what's happened to make them all fall in line. But in practice, though, I don't think that would happen. Like, Watchmen has this dystopic conclusion that's actually what happens because of this. But it may have an effect of bringing a lot of disparate parts of the Prime together. But I don't think everyone would automatically think the same, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'm just picturing giant mind flayers falling from the sky and onto the cities. Watchmen.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or just like they're krakens. They're not even mind flayers. They're just krakens. Like, because water plane suddenly apparates out of nowhere. Oh no, it's a giant falling squid. Jesus Christ, we're fucked. You know, like something like that. But I suppose my question, right? Like, love all of this, by the way. Love the kind of concept that we're rolling with here. I have a question, a very serious question. Daniel doesn't want to do D&D cosmology. No problem. I'm there with you. Do we want to name the different types of planes that we want to exist here? Or do we want to leave that for entrepreneurial world builders who want to pick the setting up later?
I think we could name ones that we're interested in, but we're talking about a multiverse, right? So is there an unlimited number of these realms? Is there a fixed number of them? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think either could go.
Sure. Well, I think in traditional D&D cosmology, there is the wheel, which is like, I think it's like 15 or 20 planes or something like that. But it's to give an example of what we're talking about, maybe we should have done this up front, but I mean, for a better example, like imagine like the elemental plane of fire, earth, water, air, mm-hmm. et cetera. And then you have, you know, the law, the planes of law and chaos, hell and heaven, et cetera. Like those are the types of cosmological planes that we're talking about here. Often they represent, you know, kind of grandiose ideas, you know, that are made up of and manifest in the material world, but it's like a purified, crystallized version of that concept on a particular plane.
So I was actually reading an interesting article or comment on Reddit from 6 years ago where a guy was talking, he was breaking it down a little bit differently into the different planes, and he broke it down into 8 different terms. They were disgust, anger / frustration, certainty, serenity / contentment, love, exhilaration, uncertainty, and fear. And he kind of like then shifted, like, you know, fear would be the abyss where the demons are from, and the disgust and hatred is where the devils are from, and love is Elysium. And like, it was kind of a cool take on it, because then he was basically trying to do just this, create a world where all these things existed on the same plane. And he just had them, instead of, you know, having these like distinct, you know, doing the alignment chart, he was doing it more of an emotional response.
Yeah, emotional response is a really cool way of doing it. I've done it. I've also done a multi-planar version where it's based on the chakra, you know, like which chakra, whatever it is, it represents that kind of ideal. I think there's a number of ways that we can do it, and that's kind of a cool conceit that we can take a look into. Daniel, what are you thinking?
I mean, I think as a designer of your world building, you would decide what is the story about and what is it trying to show to the players. So, you know, if you had some kind of dark fantasy, you'd probably choose to characterize the realms in a way that suits dark fantasy. So that's why I'm less inclined to like make that decision, because I don't really know what this genre is yet. You know, any of those could be viable, right? We could decide, is it an unlimited number of things or is it a fixed number of things? That could be a decision point. The other thing that isn't really considered in D&D in a meaningful way is they have a different approach to how like the physics of space works, essentially. And so, you know, when we think of multiverse, usually that means an entire universe and different flavors of it. So not just one planet, you know, or one stretch of space. So we also have to ask ourselves, you know, when we're talking about the incursion of all these realms, are we talking about like a realm is equivalent to one landscape that's just arbitrarily large? Or are we talking about universes emerging? I think the intended scope of this is, you know, smaller. So it's like individual lands that are merging together from these realms. Yeah. And I think that's probably more manageable, because you don't want to have to deal with like, you know, the plane of fire, which has 50 billion suns, has merged with the prime that has hundreds and hundreds of billions of suns. It's meaningless at that point. So I'm thinking maybe it makes sense to have chunks of these realms merge together rather than them their entirety.
Yeah, I totally agree, and lean towards the having the limited number of planes in this world, because just for that reason. So it's not like this like, all right, crazy multiverse worlds collide, like, you know, you can actually make it more tangible and you know, just keep it in that fantasy element.
Yeah, I mean, I think keeping it to a planet is what the key conceit is really asking for here, you know, to a certain extent anyway. Yeah.
But maybe there's a rift and that little tear has pulled in the same spot on many different planets and in many different realms. And so it's all one physical space that's overlapping.
Mm-hmm. Hey, did we, this setting, right? Like this concept, I want to know what happened. Like, why did this collapse occur? Like what happened in the cosmology in the planes that like, hey, we're just going to like invert ourselves, you know, and it's going to be like the everything everywhere all at once bagel, you know, like what's going on there?
I actually heard it's a giant cosmic cat that was playing with the worlds like a ball of yarn. And that's how this happened.
So you say that we've definitely done that episode before. So
callback.
Yeah.
I wasn't there for that.
This is how time works, and I hate it, but I'm like, that was like, and I was going to say years ago, it was years ago, Rob, but how many years ago? I've been doing the podcast for 5 years, dear God. And then I just kind of, my mind kind of just trailed off into nothingness. Okay.
To answer your question, which I've forgotten what it was. Damn it.
What happened, Daniel? What happened? What
was the last thing you're talking about? I had a thought about it, but then.
Yeah, no, I'm answering you. What happened?
How did this happen? You know, the event, right? Okay, yes. Sorry. You trailed into something else, so I lost my focus. But the event that caused it, I mean, so that's a question, a big narrative question, right? Like, and by that, I mean, is the narrative concerned with that, right? So if you're going to take a super zoomed in version where maybe you're following a being of law that has stumbled into the material and has to come to terms with its own transformation and avoiding, you know, immigration cops and all this stuff, that's a very narrow story about an individual where the reason why this happened isn't really important anymore. On the other hand, you can take a much bigger point of view, like maybe like a foundation kind of point of view where you're talking about gulfs of time and what the civilizations are up to, in which case it might be important to know what happens. So we'd have to decide, how do we want to zoom in or do we want to zoom out in terms of the story?
Could also do like a multiple perspective story too, where it's like the same thing told.
Oh yeah.
Different creatures.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That might be interesting too. Yeah.
I usually lean towards the individual because the gulfs of time thing, I don't know. I've never really read a book where I'm like, wow, these gulfs of time really say a lot about society, you know, or whatever it might be. I've always been so much more fascinated by the very personal stories that we get out of that. So my preference is that we zoom tight in, but I'm also open to trying something that I'm less comfortable with.
I mean, I agree in that, like, I'd rather have a character-focused story. I mean, one of the ways you can tell big gulfs of time would be, like, Foundation, where he's zooming in on a moment, he tells a short story at that moment. There are characters, but overall, it's concerned with what happened. But if we all want to deal with characters, stories that are really focused about what's important to them and meaningful to them, then we wouldn't really care about the big picture stuff that much.
Right, and I feel like the current scope of our setting is very much in the now. It's not really too concerned about what happens after the settling. So maybe that's like, again, we always try and approach this like it's like it's prestige television, you know, not always, but often. So like, let's consider that then. Like, let's keep this kind of thing. It's like, this is the story that we're focusing on. This is the scope of the story. It's happening now. Like, the great shifting is happening. Maybe people don't understand why or care or whatever, but like, this is what's happening to us. Holy shit. This is what matters. This is what needs to be focused on. And I'm cool with that kind of thing. So yeah.
I'm kind of like, I either would like it, the main story to be from one of the extraplanar people, or like I said, that it's several perspectives, like telling a similar event or their views of their event. And I definitely, you know, obviously it's got to take place in the material, like whatever's left of the material, original material world. So we can do the border cop element.
Yeah. I like the multiple perspectives. Like,
but I would like a chapter or whatever, a faction of like the Modrons, like just being all like really like straightforward and like just completely lawful neutral.
Yeah, the more I think about it, I like the idea of like perspective characters, because then you get the opportunity to see multiple perspectives, obviously, but then you get the, like, when those characters meet, because they will meet eventually, that's a really cool thing that can happen. And then, so you get the weight of whatever that thing happened was. And then obviously we're trying to create like a fun little adventuring party here too, where it's like, oh, we've got the Modron with maybe some kind of like a sexy incubus. And then you've got like border cop trying to ferry them all safely together. Yeah. And like that idea of like a ragtag planar group or, oh man. Okay. I'm also thinking now like a literal traveling circus and or theater troupe made up of various planar things would also be really fun and wild to deal with too.
That raises questions about the antagonists too, and I could see there being a couple. I really would like the immigration cops to not be fundamentally evil. So I imagine there's probably a large portion of them that are hardline authoritarians. They're terrible. But I also imagine there's probably an incursion realm that has horrifying kaijus that are actually causing massive destruction and have to be stopped. So I could see the Bureau having a noble purpose on top of the dark things it's also doing, mm-hmm. because it's trying to save realms from total destruction.
Sure. I like the idea that the antagonist is twofold. One, it's the event itself, you know, like this nameless kind of cataclysm that's happened. And also the other idea is like the bureaucracy. It is what, you know, like there are individuals, you know, and I think that's why the perspective characters kind of help a lot, is you get these perspective characters and then you see the nameless, faceless bureaucracy that takes those planar beings and removes their individuality to a certain extent. So it's not that it's inherently malicious, right? Like you can see the perspective characters and be like, look, I'm just trying to get these people back to a plane where they can become stable, where they feel safe. And then on the opposite end, where it's just like, listen, we're going to harness these creatures over here. Like, you know, one of my favorite conceits of fantastical elements is the idea that you can take elementals and then harness them for very cheap labor, or in some cases just free labor, or, you know, enslavement, right? So like, I like the idea that those two things are happening simultaneously. And the thing that allows that to happen is the faceless bureaucracy of this kind of big system that's kind of in charge of the whole process.
Going back to the specifics of your tenet, DQ, do you think that is it exclusive, the Border Patrol, to the original denizens of the material plane, or is it now included? Like, are they cooperating with other planar entities?
Ooh, that's a great question.
I think at their core, they're primarily concerned with the Prime, and that their leaders are probably exclusively Prime people. But I can imagine that they have to make certain, not alignment, but certain like diplomatic relationships with some of these other realms, especially to get them on their side and to help them quarantine and separate things off and figure out what's going on. Kind of like, I imagine, like a homeland security of our country having certain agreements with other countries in terms of mediating our own security.
But they're still not, they're not actually part, it's not like a UN or something like that.
No, I think that my feeling is that they are definitely undercurrent of MAGA, like undercurrent of not interested in,
yeah, border control.
You know, yeah, they're hardliners, but some of what they're doing, I think, from a bigger picture, actually makes sense because there are really horrific realms encroaching, yeah, on the Prime. Yeah.
Do we allow certain entities into our society? I'm saying us as the material plane people, obviously.
I think that there's clearly financial incentives, right?
Okay.
Like, yeah, like Rob was hinting at, like the use of by enslaving them in certain cases, the use of certain powers and certain abilities from these other realms, I'm sure are things that are worth researching to whomever's, yeah, actually in charge of the Prime. But I think the outward message is, this is an incursion. We need to put a stop to it. We have to establish order. And, yeah, our realm is actively being disintegrated because of this.
Ooh. Okay. So from this kind of governmental perspective, I can't help but feel like, don't worry, there are some good ones who agree with us and are willing to participate. And I'm using good ones in big fucking, yeah, air quotes, yeah, there, you know, where it's just like, oh, that's some loaded ass language, you know, like those who capitulate and those who are like willing to broker a deal. And so exactly, that usually that like ends up being like, hey, we've got this group of devils who are willing to, you know, we got rid of Detroit, so I guess we're just going to give the place where Detroit was to the devils. I mean, sure, why not? They're participating and they're willing to help us in a certain extent.
They make fantastic lawyers too.
They are very thorough in that regard. Yeah.
I mean, you know, you can imagine other realms plotting against the Bureau. Like, if they were a realm of devils, they're all devious, right? They might want to make contracts with the Bureau and see if they can help with them.
Oh, of course. And that's where some of the fun comes in, you know, and because we're dealing with like a massive bureaucratic institution, I feel like you'll have departments fighting against each other without them knowing it until it's too late, that kind of thing.
Would some of these realms, you think, create their own bureaus? Like, would we have kind of like a KGB, CIA classic thing going on?
I think that there is some level of like, hey, we're going to give you some level of sovereignty as akin to like, you know, how we have like indigenous people and First Nations peoples who have their own, you know, native or sovereign nations and stuff like that. But it's under the umbrella of the United States government or the Canadian government or something like that, you know, where there's like, yeah, you can govern yourself, but know that we have ultimate governance over you.
But I'm saying like some of the, like, so the other thing though too is I guess they do know that they're not on their own plane anymore because they've lost, you know, like you said, they're metamorphosing, I think is actually the right word. That's what insects do. But they're like, they're obviously changing to adapt to their new reality and realm. But I just like, I picture this group of, you know, this nation of former angels or whatever, looking down upon those of the material world and like trying to keep their borders clean as well.
I bet, guarantee. Like, I mean, I think of every realm has a need to, as a nation state, has a desire to protect its integrity. So yeah. I imagine each of them have their own version of that. But the difference here, I think, in terms of the power, other than the fact that they're at a disadvantage because they're physically changing, but mm-hmm. is that only a slice of these other realms have appeared in ours. And the Prime has like more real estate to work with, I imagine. So that's probably part of the reason why they're outgunned.
And it's also a matter of like, we've maintained power. We have, you know, like established power ready to be wielded immediately. Mm-hmm. Whereas like those who are coming in from extra planes, they like their power has been shattered and scattered to the winds. And it's like the geography that they once relied on or the physical space that they have between them and their armies is now like gone, right? Because I'm imagining that even though chunks of these planes have kind of apparated, you know, whole cloth, I'm not guessing that like that's true in a sense of like how the populations of those places landed as well.
Necessarily. I mean, they're still getting their sea legs too. Like they gotta
also true. Yeah. I mean, in some cases, quite literally, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So I feel like we could talk about this particular setting for way longer than one episode. So we gotta do our recap and we gotta get into that twist because man, we've only got one episode to crank this out and I really want to get to it. So Daniel, start us off again with your first tenet. How are we working with that? What were we talking about?
This is the Bureau that is basically immigration for extra planner entities.
And how are you feeling? You feeling satisfied with how that's kind of played out so far?
Yes, I think they're pretty central.
I would agree with that. John, remind us, me and the viewers, and maybe Daniel too, depending. What was your tenet?
Was that basically not just the people from the planes, but actual parts of the planes came and replaced the part of the Prime material plane.
And how are you feeling about that? Are you feeling satisfied, John?
Oh, I'm feeling pretty good.
All right. And with mine, I had this idea that because they're cut off from the planes, or it's not even cut off now. It's mostly like because of the massive upheaval to their home plane, the extraplanar beings are metamorphosizing into something different. And I feel like we haven't gotten to that too much, but I think we've gotten enough where I'm like, I'm okay with how we kind of we've dealt with it thus far. So we've got the tenets. We're feeling pretty good about this. I suppose now is the time to roll a twist and we'll see how it goes. And our twist for this particular setting is... Ooh, it's a trap. Oh, baby. That's a really interesting one, actually. How do we want to reconcile that one, y'all? I mean, we could take this as literally or as metaphorically as we want. Daniel, why don't you start us off? You start us off last time. So John, I'm going to make you start this time. What do you got for us? How are you reconciling this?
So I was kind of like joking in the back of my mind. You're talking about like, how did this all happen in the first place? And I was thinking something along the lines like, you know, it was someone wished for more wishes or something like that. And it just broke, like they figured out a way to trick a genie or something. And it kind of broke the nature of magic and the weave, and it causes collision. And now I'm kind of thinking like, what if there was, and you know, Phil, I'm not set dead set on this. Just thinking about now, but like, what if there was a single person that has caused this to happen somehow in a attempt to do the impossible, or to like, not, I guess rule the world isn't the right thing, but like to do something that they broke physics. Basically they broke the worlds because they were trying to do something that would just can't be done.
I mean, I like the idea that, because it lets you then focus on a single character. And it would be interesting if that's also the reason why the gods can't interact anymore, because of this conjunction. Of course, I wouldn't want it to be your typical, like, I'm just trying to gain power or something. It should be something.
I was like, even thinking, like, bring back a dead loved one or something. Like, you know, like they broke the genie rules and somehow it broke the world.
It would be interesting too if they're have something to do with the Bureau. Like they're not only are they trying to stop it, but they're also the cause.
Interesting.
I mean, we had this idea of an Ozymandias that you were talking about previously, Daniel, from The Watchmen, you know, where that's the easy route where we go for control. If we made it more selfish and it's just like, I just want the gods out of my business, and that's like the wish or like the way that they decide to do it, I kind of like the idea of a rampant, not atheist, but like anti-deist, basically, where they're just like, listen, the gods need to stay out of our affairs, and this is what we got to do. You know, it's like, well, we still need all these elemental things. So yeah, we'll just make sure that they're all here, all converged into one. But where does the trap part come in? I suppose that's my question.
My first thought is that bringing the planes together creates a problem, it creates a danger. And it could be incidental. Like, so if this person, whether they did it on accident or they did it intentionally, the planes being brought together might also bring something into the prime that is not meant to be there. That's extremely dangerous. Could be causing chaos or havoc. And that's the trap. That could be intentional. I feel like there should be two things going on. Like a person who did something that resulted in this cataclysm, right? But isn't trying to control or hurt anyone. Like they had some other purpose. And then maybe a hidden layer below that, where it's like they're aware of what's happened and they want to take advantage of it. And so they're going to use this trap to achieve something.
I suppose the way that I would look at it is, who would look at the convergence of all of these planes of existence and see that as, this is the perfect opportunity. This is what I wanted this entire time. Right. And I feel like once we have that answer, that's a great kind of way that we can figure that out and then move on to the second layer that Daniel's talking about.
I mean, if I were a Bureau and this is like Men in Black-esque, right? Or so they're monitoring other realms as it is, and this happens, and maybe there's some element of this where we want some resource or perhaps some power or something from some far off realm that we can't get access to. If a conjunction happens, you know, behaving as immigration control would be a perfect cover to constantly be searching out people's, you know, private spaces that have now been merged into ours to find that thing that's so far removed, because now it's in our realm. So they could be secretly searching for it, you know?
Okay. Hold on. Hear me out here. So John had mentioned that giant sections of these planes have kind of come into the material plane, right? What if that was deliberate? What if like the things that people are looking for, they're like, oh, we've like found the coordinates and we can get a general area and then pull those into the material plane. So that idea is far more deliberate than we've previously. It's not random. It's not like they pulled random pieces from these planes. It's like, no, we found the shards of this thing, and now it's time to pull those shards towards the material plane.
I was also thinking it'd be kind of interesting if you visualize it as a multi-face, like more than a cube, Rubik's cube. And so all, you know, one color is a plane and everything, like, so even though you got this shit replaced on the material plane, it actually all exists on the other planes. Like, so basically, just things got swapped around. And so that would kind of fit in with, like, they, whoever did this, they were trying to pull in these specific parts for some means. But then elsewhere in the other planes, they still exist. They're inaccessible from the material plane now because of this discordance, but they still exist and are now, like, kind of facing their own thing.
I mean,
I know it's still room to, like, do the trap thing, though.
I think we get there. Like, I was thinking about your loved one that's lost, right? So
yeah.
It doesn't have to be a loved one, but it could be some desire. Here's an example. Like, let's say you had a scientist in the pre-bureau, which is more like we're monitoring other planes. Like, we're all, the prime material is fine. Everything's fine. People worship gods. And there's this person here who yearned for an alternate life that they never achieved because they're such a failure. They're stuck in this dead end technology position within the bureau, and they yearn for another life. And they discovered that they can actually extract. There is another version of their life out there in another plane. If only they could reconfigure things, right? And perhaps, you know, a more seedy corporate element inside this group wants to take advantage of that person's desire and encourages them to do this research, which can result in this conjunction. So now you have the one person who causes it because, say, they want to have this other life brought over and exchanged, right? But you've got CD kind of government elements here that are actually searching for something else. And the conjunction is a means for them to do that. So you could replace this person with anything. It could be someone who's trying to extract a soul that purchased, that died. Mm-hmm. It could be some lost art object that they're lusting after, whatever you want. But you'd have two levels there. You'd have the people facilitating their work and then the person who is trying to recover their loss.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're absolutely spot on too, Daniel. You can really replace it with anything. Like, while you were talking, I'm like, oh, you could do this with, like, oh, this is the pieces of a dead deity, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, their worshipers are trying to put them together, or replace that with, like, a lich's phylactery, you know, where it's like, oh, you know, we got to make sure that we get the phylactery in one place so we can destroy the phylactery and the lich once and for all. They cast this giant spell that's going to take all those pieces and put them together. But the, you know, like, the other side of it is, oh, by the way, we're pulling those planes together as well. I mean, there's a ton that you could do with that. Yeah, for sure.
It could be, as if you wanted to do a romantic comedy or a romance, it could be as simple as a missed connection with this person that if you had said the right thing, your life would be different, right? And they're trying to pull that moment through, but that's getting manipulated by the larger organization. Yeah.
I like the idea that this person discovered a way to literally pull the threads of reality and, you know, affect to try to change and attain this thing that they're missing or lost or never had the opportunity for. And then the bureau took advantage of that, like, discovery and pulled a little bit too hard. And that's what's caused this convergence.
I'm imagining this is like skeins of yarn, you know, where, like, you're twisting or you're taking all of these, like, threads and you're literally twisting them into a rope. And that just so happens to be reality. You know, it's just like,
hey, we're back to the cat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's yarn. It's a yarn ball. There we go. Okay. I mean, okay. Sequel, you know, unintended sequel done and dusted. We got it. Okay. But I suppose my question to you, Daniel, there's an intentionality behind it's a trap, right? Like, so, like, okay, they've sprung the trap. And now what is the goal exactly?
Well, we haven't identified what it is they're looking for, right?
Right.
So, you know, assuming they're looking for something, I don't know, maybe they're looking for, just to be cliche, like an unlimited energy source that's impossible because the prime material has the third law of thermodynamics, but in the entropy realm that isn't a case, so they can get this cylinder of infinite energy or whatever. So that's their financial goal. So, you know, I could see, for example, now that the conjunction has happened and they can get their hands on it, you know, which will then make them very powerful. The trap would be letting, you know, the kaiju from that neighboring realm that they've conveniently brought over completely ravage all of their potential enemies while they set up, you know, this power source or whatever. That's one way to go about it. But I'm thinking that the trap is more of a side effect of setting up the conjunction.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I'm also thinking, like, you know, if you want to do something easy as well, you could be like, hey, well, you know, the gods being cut off from these planes is also deliberate. Like they're trying to either siphon divine energy, you know, like, oh, it's not that, you know, like people's prayers are going unanswered, it's that they're being intercepted due to this convergence happening or something like that. That could also be an interesting kind of way to do it.
Yeah. And meanwhile, I just go for the lowbrow and I'm like, he had a misconnection in the abyss and he's just trying to get some of that sweet succubusy, you know?
Mm-hmm. See, I mean, again, why not an incubus? I feel like, you know, the terrible music aside, I feel like it's always about the succubus rather than the incubus, but, you know, whatever.
I just like girls. So.
Hey,
just,
I mean,
I work sure. with what I know. That's all.
Sure. I mean, if you want to limit yourself to just one flavor, I understand. But anyway.
I like lots of flavors. I just don't happen to have certain parts.
Okay, we need to immediately reject this. I mean, we need to get out of here. We need to jettison this conversation. Okay. This was a great, very fun setting. A big thank you again to Andrew for this particular one. So yeah, that's going to do it for this one. So again, huge thank you to Andrew. Truly a very fun world. We could have easily done a second episode on this. No problem. But remember that if you want us to build your world like we did with Andrew here, you can always go to our website, worldbuildwithus.com, click the link, follow some instructions, and within a reasonable amount of time, we'll be building your world. If you want to follow us on social media, we're over on YouTube and Twitter. So go ahead and follow us there. If you want to talk to us more directly, you can go ahead and join our Discord and chat with us. No problem. Or if you're feeling particularly generous or just want access to sweet, sweet patron-only goodies like the Aphid Lounge, Too Hot for Broadcast, or the patron-only Discord, then you can go ahead and give us money as a thank you with a link for that in the description. That's going to do it for this episode of World Build With Us. Remember that we love you very much, and we're going to get through this together. Until next week.